I'm Trisha Helfer, and you are listening to After the Credits at row3.com.
Welcome to another very special show of After the Credits, our last show of 07. It's been a hectic year, bit of a whirlwind, and I don't even know what episode we're up to. I think we're up to episode 6 now. So we're ending the year off on an even number. I don't know if that means anything. Joining me today, Dale.
Well, I'm surprised we actually got 6 in so quickly.
Oh, yeah, after the little conversion. Because that didn't happen all that long ago.
Yeah.
Joining me, as you may have noticed now, is Dale and Colleen, regular co-hosts.
Hello. Hello,
everyone.
And a very special guest, flown in from Estonia.
I can't even do it now.
We have more testosterone on the mics.
Oh, I know. We're actually evened out today. We have Johnny C.
Johnny C from Pennsylvania.
So, Pittsburgh. Okay, I have to call you John, because I don't think I can do the whole Johnny.
My mother calls me Johnny.
Aw, isn't that sweet?
Now I'm thinking of Short Circuit.
Oh,
Johnny Five.
Oh, jeez.
Johnny Flame.
I can't think of another Johnny. Johnny Depp.
Johnny Cash.
Yeah, I'm out of Johnny's now.
John Diefenbaker? Oh, never mind.
That's
okay,
not
if
Johnny.
If we don't stop now, we're going to get into the little Johnny jokes, and then we'll be really off topic.
It's all your fault, John.
That's okay.
So you got to share with the audience what, so they have a basic idea of what you're into. What kind of movies
I'm into
like?
Motorsports and collecting pins.
What a smart essay.
No, actually, I don't know what to expect. I'm really happy you guys got me here on the show. I guess I'm the all-inclusive but never able to figure out take moviegoer, because I like it all, I hate it all, I like every genre, I hate every genre, I hate movies that fit categories, I like movies that create new categories, but I like to be entertained, and I think going to a movie, spending 10 to 12 bucks for, you know, an hour to 2 hours of your time is probably one of the best forms of entertainment.
I concur. I think we all agree on that one.
Hey, I mean, I could be doing worse things like bowling.
Bowling has its moments, man. No, that's okay. And today is our January preview. We're ending the year off looking forward to 07. 08. I'm already confused. This is going to be a bad year. I just know it. and looking at January, I got to tell you, I was really disappointed. It's, like, bad. It's going to be a very bad month.
There's a couple of cool things
opening. There's a couple in there that I'm looking forward to.
Okay.
Two in specific in my mind I'm very excited about.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, maybe we'll get right started with January.
Two and a half for me.
Two and a half for you. January 4th, we're going to start with the American remake of the Japanese horror film One Missed Call. Commentary.
It's all yours.
Not my particular field of horror.
John?
No, I mean, for horrors, I mean, you look at it, and this one is, okay, One Missed Call. I think if I miss this call, it's fine with me. It doesn't do anything for me, but it just looks like, in fact, to be honest with you, the trailer for this one, I don't think I saw the whole thing.
The trailer just looks like so done before.
Well, yeah, but still, it has Shannon Sussman. I like her. I won't see it because of her, but I do like her. I think though she's going down the Sarah Michelle Gellar road of Japanese remakes. Not good.
Yeah, there's so much better horror films out there. This just is, I don't know, formulaic. Like,
yeah,
just no thanks.
It's kind of sad to say that. You know, here we go again. Another, like as they put it, a J-horror remake.
Yeah.
J-horrors were original at one time here, so I personally am not looking forward to this one.
Yeah, I think it's a miss for most of us. Moving on, also opening on the 4th, The Killing of John Lennon, a dramatization, I guess, of, now, Chapman was the guy's name?
Chapman,
yeah.
Mark David Chapman.
Of the, I guess, the what led up to his killing of John Lennon. Apparently the film is great, though the reviews are really mixed. It sits at 53% on Rotten Tomatoes, and that seems to be the general consensus. Some people love it, some people really don't like it. And newcomer Jonas Ball, he's an Italian actor, very like his first North American role. I thought the trailer looked great.
You know what part of it might be? I think some people, like, it could be a very good film, but this isn't about John Lennon. This is about a killer.
Yeah.
And this is not like a fictional killer. This is a guy who went out and killed arguably the most popular, like, pop rock sort of
icon,
out there. So, you know what? We're glorifying the killer. And a lot of people won't be able to get over that fact, whether it's a good film or not.
Yeah.
It's just a visceral thing.
That's an interesting point.
And just to add on that, I think it just the title gets you sort of uncomfortable. The killing of John Lennon. And a lot of people, you know, weren't, you know, too happy probably to see it like that. I mean, it hits you right in the paper.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm really interested to see it. I doubt it'll open around here anytime around the 4th, but
I would go with you guys if you went, but it certainly isn't one I would go to on my own.
Opening on the 11th, outside of the holdovers from 07 that I'm sure I'll be catching up on, There Will Be Blood. opening wide release. First Sunday, starring Ice Cube. Did you guys actually watch this trailer?
I haven't watched the trailer. I mean, this is one of those...
I don't need to.
It's pretty bad.
You know, this is just one of those quirky kinds of things. If I was in just the exact right kind of mood and had nothing to do, I would go and see it. But I'll wait on TV, when it comes on TV, when I can channel surf if it's really as bad as it looks.
Yeah, I just... Oh, God. Ice Cube is so much better than this.
I also have a real problem with Tracy Morgan. I don't find him funny at
all. I don't know who he is. So I'm not on that list. So I like Ice Cube. I think he's way better than this.
Yeah, I have liked him in some of the stuff he's done, surprisingly.
Yeah.
Law and Order. Oh, no, that's Ice-T.
That's Ice-T. Well, Ice-T was in Three Kings, though.
Oh, there you go.
Which was fantastic.
Yeah.
But now, do you think there'll actually be people that actually like this?
Yes.
Because it seems to sort of follow a trend of movies like wasn't there one called First Friday?
Oh, yeah, there was Friday After Next.
Yeah.
The Last Friday. I don't know how many there have been. But those were all about, like, pot smoking. This one's about robbing a bank. Moving on to, our favorite director, Uwe Boll. In the Name of the King, A Dungeon Siege Tale.
This is not the Uwe Boll film I want to see. I want to see Postal. What's up with this?
It's a video game adaptation. I mean, and it's quite the cast. Jason Statham, Ron Perlman, Ray Liotta, Lily Sobieski, and who the hell else is in there?
Matthew Lillard.
Okay.
Who's a great character actor, I think, because he did, like, Shaggy and Scooby-Doo, and he did that Wing Commander guy, and he's been in a bunch of other stuff. And you hardly know him from role to role, so...
There you go.
But John Rhys-Davies, did we say him already?
No, I didn't.
Burt Reynolds.
Oh, thank you.
Burt's in it?
Yeah, Burt's in it.
The Burt.
Claire Fulani.
I don't know.
How did Uwe Boll get these people in this?
Kristanna Loken.
Oh, yeah, but she was in Blood Rain, so that doesn't surprise me much.
Okay. So, I the trailer makes this look a bit too somber serious. I don't know. He might be trying to play it too serious.
I think that's the downfall from the sounds of it.
Yeah, I mean, just as much as you can tell from the trailer. But,
yeah.
I mean, it's a D&D movie. I'm just, like, gonna have to go because...
And I haven't actually seen a Uwe Boll film ever in my life. So this will be my first. I'm very excited. I'm getting the popcorn ready for throwing. I'm ready to go, man. Hopefully he'll be in town filming his next disaster and he can join us for the screening.
Yeah.
John, any commentary on this one?
In the Name of the King, I declare this a miss.
Oh, boy.
I seriously couldn't take it. Seriously.
I think I might be holding out for Postal.
Oh, come on. You said Statham looks awesome in this.
Yeah. Who am I kidding? I'll go.
Oh, see?
But I'll be thinking about Postal. I'll be thinking about Postal while watching it. Going, why isn't this Postal?
And then she'll hold it over our heads.
That's right. This is one step up from License to Wed, and I will never forgive you all for it.
Oh, God. At least it's a step up, not one down.
I don't think you could go lower.
Oh, good to know. Also opening on the 11th, 27 Dresses with Katherine Heigl and James Marsden. And seriously, the Buddha, a woman that was a bridesmaid 27 times, and now she's arranging her sister's wedding to the man she loves. I've never seen this one before.
I've seen the trailer so many times now, I already hate the film.
You know what else is interesting about this film? And don't ask me why I checked this out. I just, okay. Maybe I was super bored. But the director of the movie, Anne Fletcher, she's been mostly a choreographer with like camera credits, if you look her up on IMDb. But the writer of this did the screenplay for Devil Wears Prada.
Yep.
So, who knows?
But the trailer for Devil Wears Prada actually looked good. This, not so much.
Well, I mean, I can see a sequel here, 28 Dresses.
Oh, yeah. Oh, but, I can see, like, it'll keep going, man.
No, but here's the thing. I really think it's going to hit. I think it's going to bring a lot of people to the theater. But, you know, at first, I think, you know, when you look at the trailer and you might, you know, it just says chick flick.
Mm-hmm. Well, and let's face it, look what it's opening with.
Well, yeah, exactly.
The moms can drop their kids off at the veggie movie and
indulge
in a little fantasy.
That's right. And, I mean, it is James Marsden. The guy is quite the looker.
But, you know, I definitely think that a lot of people can relate to this. A lot of people have friends that are, you know, marrying off, and they're always the best friend attending the wedding, and they have to, you know, whether it's a dress or being the best man, you know, when I saw this, I had the chuckles, and I think I'm going to go with my significant other for this one.
Yes, we have a very special other guest in the studio who you might hear chuckle.
Yes, together four.
The mystery woman.
Pennsylvania.
I don't know. You know, when I first heard that it was Katherine Heigl, I kind of got excited because I liked her in Knocked Up.
She was good in Knocked Up.
Yeah, and I wouldn't mind seeing her again, even though I don't watch Grey's Anatomy, but I don't know. The trailer doesn't do much for me.
27 passes for me.
Yeah, I'll be watching The Pirates Who Don't Do Anything of VeggieTales movie.
Oh, God.
I might actually see this.
Well, you have a young nephew, so it's okay.
Yeah.
You've got an excuse.
You
got a
pass. Yeah.
I hate vegetables.
I'm with you on that one. I just no appeal for me whatsoever. And apparently, this isn't the first VeggieTales movie.
Oh, no. It's a franchise now.
I had no idea these guys even existed. I thought, what on earth am I watching? Yeah.
I'm the guy that liked Zoom Academy and
I like that.
Sky High, but I'm taking a pass on this
Oh,
one.
You're taking
I'm
a
sorry.
Pass on the VeggieTales movie?
Yeah.
Okay.
Why wouldn't you like Sky High?
Oh,
Bruce Campbell was in it.
Well, there you go.
Sheesh.
And Kurt Russell.
And oh yeah, that's right. He was the father. I had to think about that for a second. Also on the 11th, one that actually Dale, you tracked this one down.
Yeah, it's on the Rotten Tomatoes opening list, but none of the other ones. So I don't know how accurate it is, but it's called The Grand. And according to the description, it's an improvisational, improv comedy, using a handful of actors playing characters competing in an actual poker tournament. Now, I have no idea how this is going to translate on film. It sounds like it's a quasi-documentary reality kind of a thing, but it's got David Cross, who's in a bunch of things, like Arrested Development. Shannon Elizabeth, Gabe Kaplan, like, my God, did Welcome Back Cotter finally give up on the...
I'll miss the cat
on the checks.
I have a note.
Dennis Farina, who I love.
Yeah.
Cheryl Hines, Woody Harrelson. So, I mean, it's got some great cast members in there.
Yeah, and for sure.
Poker is hot, and poker definitely has a lot of story potential for script possibilities. So, I don't know. I hope it makes it up here at some point, but I'm not holding my breath.
Yeah, if it's all improvisational kind of thing,
improv.
But staged.
Let's just go with
improv, but staged. It could be interesting. It could be like an Aristocrats, but very specifically focused.
If they're playing in an actual tournament, like if the tournament is real, then that would be the...
That'd be great fodder.
That would be the reality of it.
Yeah,
it would add for some attention to the movie. And it's played at film festivals. It played at Tribeca, and it's out there, so it's not something that's like really underground. So hopefully it winds up at our favorite art house theater.
Yeah, I'd never heard of it. I'm like, okay, sure. Sounds like it could be a winner. Moving on to January the 18th. Oh, Colleen is doing a happy dance, as was Dan before he left. Cloverfield, the big monster movie. We don't know who the monster is.
I love monster films. You probably, if you've listened to either Mad About Movies before or After the Credits Christmas special, you probably have an idea. I like Godzilla.
Every single Godzilla movie.
Oh, see?
Every single one?
Every single one, like on VHS.
Son of Bambi? Son of Bambi meets Godzilla?
That one, I mean, not. That's an animation one, isn't it?
I'm not even sure.
Yes, it is. Yeah. I think
you can find it on YouTube.
A monster movies.
Oh, it's on YouTube.
Oh, sweet.
Yeah. Oh, I didn't know that.
So I'm very excited. They still haven't shown the monster, although they've shown a shadow of a monster on a curtain screen kind of thing.
Oh, yeah, see, and I haven't been watching any of those. Look, the monster spotted. I don't care. Just drop me in the scene.
The only thing that's making me nervous about this film is the fact that
the shaky cam in the
trailer. Because I know I have great issues with that because it makes me physically sick. So I'm
a couple of extra gravel.
I'll be popping 6 or 7 before going in, but overdose.
You know, when head of the Statue of Liberty lands.
It's got to be something.
You're dealing with a Class A
monster. I like that. I'm produced by J.J. Abrams, directed by Matt Reeves, who hasn't really directed much other than a couple of Felicity episodes.
I'm
really taking, I don't know, the trailer just didn't do it for me.
Especially
the Daco kind of take the story's taking. I don't know. I like your all-out monster attack Godzilla style.
I don't know, man. The fact that the biggest movie of the year had a trailer that nobody had no idea about. We're all sitting there going, well, what the hell was that, man?
There's still nothing. There's nothing being leaked on this film. Like,
the very fact that it's so secretive is enough to get me in the chair.
Like, how did they do that? They have so many people involved with this thing, and nothing's leaking. Like, the only thing leaking is what they want.
Yeah, pretty much.
That's insane.
And come on, you have to come for the Star Trek 11 or 12.
Well, there you go, yes.
Or whatever it is. That
everyone involved with the movie had an explosive collar attached to them that...
Like in Battle Royale. Yeah. Awesome.
John, you've been very quiet, but I saw you very excited.
You know, because, I mean, this is still my first show. I'm still learning. I'm very, very shy. I look at this and I think it's one of these that I think is going to hit or miss. And elaborating on that, what I mean is that the way, I know you say you don't like the shaky camera, but I think that the mystery around it, the build-up and the fact that you don't see the monsters, you see people sort of, having a toast and celebrating.
Yeah, going to a party.
And I think that that's a neat take on a monster movie because,
for sure.
You know, we're so used to seeing monster movies where, okay, we see down the, you know, Main Street or Broadway and there we see Godzilla on the horizon coming. You know, so we're used to that. We want to see that monster because we want to judge it against other monsters. This one, we have no idea what the monster looks like.
Yeah.
So it's getting us uneasy. It's getting us uncomfortable. We don't like the camera angle. But you know what? I think people are going to be talking about this one. And I'm excited to go see this one.
Yeah. I think it's going to be a hit.
Oh, I have no doubt of that.
Yeah. Just throw J.J. Abrams' name attached to it. For some reason, that sells something. I haven't figured out what it sells, but...
And just for the record, for all the people that like Godzilla out there, everybody knows that the American Godzilla doesn't count in the series.
And I disagree. Iggy, the Iggy Godzilla is perfectly valid. I take up... Yeah.
Okay,
Godzilla is not a lizard.
There'll be a fist fight later.
Yeah.
Godzilla is not a lizard.
Does it make me a hypocrite that I
am? Jean Reno was awesome.
I'm going to...
The new Godzilla will be part of the marathon on New Year's.
We're going to move on and avert the Godzilla debate for now. I think this is a show on its own, apparently.
Let's do that. Godzilla.
It's Godzilla.
I think we might have to do a little edit there. Okay, also opening on the 18th, Mad Money with Diane Keaton, Queen Latifah, and Katie Holmes. About a bunch of women who are cleaning ladies that rob money that's set for destruction.
A popcorn caper movie.
You know,
classic popcorn caper.
No interest whatsoever. I've seen this before with Queen Latifah and a bunch of other black women. Don't remember what
this is going to be popular, just like First Wives Club was kind of thing. It's going to appeal to the same sort of people.
Yeah, well, the caper movies are all about the chemistry between the characters. And in the trailer, it looks like it's there.
You think that?
As much as you can tell from a trailer. So I'm actually intrigued.
See, I like Diana Keaton, but I really don't like Queen Latifah, and Katie Holmes is why bother kind of thing for me. So
she has her moments.
Yeah.
She has enough of them, though.
And the director of this actually wrote Thelma and Louise.
And directed Divine Secrets of the Yaya Sisterhood, which I actually quite enjoy.
So I think this movie has some potential, you know? Maybe not opening weekend movie, but...
I think I might rent it when I have time.
We'll see how it
goes. I like popcorn capers, though. I mean, it's not going to be Ocean's NNN, whatever, but...
Well, it's definitely not Hudson Hawk.
Oh, it couldn't compare to Hudson Hawk. Hudson Hawk is a brilliant piece of satire.
Yeah, okay.
Everyone should see it multiple times.
John, any takes on this one?
Well, sometimes, I mean, I know what they're going for here, and it just seems like, you know, they're trying too hard. I really think it's miscast. I think I have a lot of respect for Diane Keaton. I've been a fan since the Godfather movies. And Queen Latifah, you know, I had a lot of respect for her, and I still do, but after seeing that trailer, I just don't know.
It's like she's going back in time instead of forward. She this was what she played before she won an Oscar. And you know, now she's a little better than that. And, yeah, I don't know.
You know, one thing is positive. Katie Holmes does look like she's gained some weight, so.
Yes. Yeah, must have happened after
ate a sandwich.
She maybe ate more than one. Wow.
Congratulations, Katie.
Oh, God. We're never getting an interview with her either. Also opening on the 18th, City of Men, somewhat sequel to, I think it was 2000s, City of God. Thank you. And this is actually based on a TV show that started after the film, the original film.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. So, new cast, new director who's directed a bunch of the episodes for the TV show. Trailer looks like it's more of the same good stuff. I'm not sure if I want to see more of the same, though.
Well, that was... Yeah, if I hadn't enjoyed City of God so much, I wouldn't even be considering this one, actually.
Exactly. To me, it just looks like more of the same, which is fine, but I've already seen it, and it was a great film, and I don't really need to see it again.
Well, I'm glad you mentioned that, you know, it's based on a TV series, because that's what I felt when I saw the trailer.
I felt like
this is... I mean, it's linked to City of God, but it's in nowhere that sort of, you know, cinematic, appeal to it. So I thought it was actually very sort of cheap looking. And it just seemed to be sort of okay, like another sort of crime thriller, but, you know, from a Brazilian perspective. So
from the slums of Brazil.
Yeah, from the slums of Brazil, you know, like, I just don't see anything original in it. And unfortunately... maybe better than what I'm giving credit for, but
I'm feeling sort of the same. Want to see it, want to like it, but
maybe a rental.
Colleen, very little to say on this one.
Yeah.
Also opening on the 18th, Teeth, which
we talked about in November, actually.
Yeah, this movie keeps getting pushed around. I mean, it's about a girl who's got an interesting situation. I don't want to give it away because the trailer doesn't, and I think it's interesting that it doesn't. But I still think the trailer plays like a horror movie, and this isn't a horror movie. At least it's not billed as a horror movie. It's billed as a comedy. So where the horror comes in, I have no idea. But I don't know. It still looks good.
It looks, yeah. No, I definitely...
still want to see it.
It has me curious enough to want to put
it. It's my kind of genre, I think. So.
John?
Well, I'm thinking, you know, it's trying to come out as a horror, but it's
at least
just, there's something
odd
about it, and yeah, it does seem like there's something more to it, and I don't know, it could be something of a surprise hit.
Yeah, I mean, it was a huge success at Sundance. I mean, it's the one of the movies that everybody was talking about out of Sundance, so the fact that it's taken this long to...
So, yeah, hopefully they don't change their minds.
Yeah.
Come on, studios. Release this puppy.
That's right. We're excited. Opening and limited release on the 18th, Cassandra's Dream, the new Woody Allen with Colin Farrell and Ewan McGregor, both two brothers vying for the affections of a young woman. Oh.
Not a big Woody Allen fan, I must admit. Wow. He's hit and miss for me. Like he's done some good stuff in the past, but overall, I just could care less about Woody Allen.
You know, I'm not a huge fan, but I liked Scoop. I did. I enjoyed it. I had fun. I might be interested to watch this, especially considering it's Ewan McGregor. I could be tortured to see that.
Would you say he's venturing in a new area of this sort of movie and just something?
No.
No?
I don't think so.
I was surprised to find out it was Woody Allen after.
Really?
Yeah, clicking the trailer. I didn't know anything until I, read the write-up on it afterwards, but it didn't really look like anything that I'm looking forward to seeing. I mean, it didn't have the characters that are notable in Woody Allen films, so I'm actually kind of surprised it is a Woody Allen film.
Yeah, and like I said, I'm not a big Allen fan, so I couldn't tell you if it is or not. It didn't surprise me, though. I don't know. Plus, it reminds me too much of Before the Devil Knows You're Dead, which was way superior. Nobody's going to believe that. Okay, so it's sort of hit and miss on that one. Also opening on the 18th, Taxi to the Dark Side, a documentary about, I don't know, prisoners in Guantanamo Bay. Is that essentially
No, the Abu Dhabi.
Oh, is it the Abu...
The actual holding them inside...
Abu Ghraib,
sorry.
Thank you. And it's... I'm not sure what to make of this, because I don't really know anything about it. The film was extremely well received at various film festivals, and I think it was picked up at Cannes by Think Film, because I remember seeing a big announcement. But it's been sort of just sitting around. They haven't... I thought it would come out this year, but... They decided to hold it back until 2008, so I don't know. It looks interesting.
I would like to see this, but not in a theater, actually.
No. I'm not a big fan of a lot of these war documentaries. It's not my cup of tea. I don't like them. But this one looks interesting enough that I might be interested in renting it, but I'm the same.
Yeah. Well, I like them, but on the History Channel or on the CBC News World. But on the big screen, unless there's something that really cries to have that large screen
Kong.
There. Yeah.
My Winnipeg. Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Documentaries can I'm quite happy to watch them on TV instead of the big screen.
Yeah. This one, I think, for me, is a rental. Interesting idea, though. Sort of reminded me of... Is this any relation to what happened with Rendition? Remember the movie Rendition that came out?
Oh, where they took someone off the plane kind of thing and they just disappeared?
Yeah.
No, because I think this story is more about the actual...
Prisoners.
Well, not prisoners of war, because they don't consider it a war, so they're...
Oh, yeah. Now we get on
people
technical.
Held with interest or something like that, yeah.
Yeah, who the hell knows?
Does the Geneva Convention apply if it's not a war? And who says whether it's a war or not? One of those things.
May have been held back because of the election. They're going into primaries in January, so...
Oh,
but I don't know that. That's just a wild-ass guess.
I would say that would actually be a pretty good guess, because I think there's a lot of political implications. There's a lot of finger-pointing.
Sure. Oh, yeah.
I mean, let's face it, it's about the persecution, as it says here, of an innocent taxi driver in Afghanistan, and the torture tactics that are used by the United States. In abroad, so I think we are going towards the election, there's going to be a lot of finger pointing, and I think this is going to be a very important film that's, I think...
Well, yeah, it's an important topic, yeah.
Yes, and it's going to have a snowball effect. That's my gut feeling, as we hear more and more stories now.
Yeah.
As the, the current administration is on its way out... We're probably going to see more and more. This movie is from the people that made that directed Enron and Who Killed the Electric Car. So I think they're going to
hot topic movies.
Yeah,
yeah.
I like that.
But it's limited release. Except for the people that are already inclined to see it, I'm not sure.
This is going to bring in a lot of
how big out. Yeah.
No. Moving on to January the 25th, Untraceable. Starring Diane Lane, Colin Hanks, and Joseph Cross. Didn't he have something else?
I don't know. I'm not sure.
I
got excited when I read the description of this.
And when I saw Diane Lane.
I'm a Diane Lane fan, when I watched the trailer, no.
Directed by Gregory Hoblit? I have no idea. Hobble? I don't know. Hoblit
would be mine.
Who also directed Fracture, the other disappointment from the earlier this year.
So, although you wouldn't get that talking to my nephew. He loved it.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I think a lot of people did really latch onto that movie. I wasn't all that impressed.
Neither was I.
So I'm disappointed. I think this looks like shit.
Well, just that whole storyline of the website that kills people.
I actually like this. Where I'm looking at the IMDb listing and it says, "The buzz. Was Sandra Bullock unavailable?" Oh, how absolutely true. This seems like it should have Sandra Bullock's name attached to it.
I actually saw the trailer at Charlie Wilson's War. They showed this in the previews. And in the first 10 seconds, it's like, wow, this is such a novel idea. Here, if you surf to a site, like the public is killing this person. Yeah. And all this and this mad, killer on the loose and stuff. But then as soon as you camera focus on, up close of Diane Lane and the characters involved, you see that this story that could be greater, it could actually be like the next, Saw, turns out to be, the cops are getting messed around with, the FBI, so it's someone local, someone among them, so it's very predictable and untraceable, I think is going to be unforgettable.
I don't know. Not a big winner. And I've actually heard a lot of complaints about the fact that the trailer is popping up in front of everything. I haven't actually seen it on the big screen, but... And then I haven't been to the movies all that much this week, so... one that I think we're all excited about, Be Kind, Rewind.
Yes.
This is the second one for me of the month that I'm desperately
looking forward to this one.
Michael Gondry's back with Jack Black, Mos Def, and Danny Glover. Of all people. Video store owner whose tapes get erased and they recreate all of the movies and become movie stars in their own sense. And it looks hysterical.
I'm so, like, Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind.
Love it.
It's one of the few movies I really like Jim Carrey in. And so I have every confidence he can keep Jack Black under control.
And I was going to say, I don't usually like Jack Black, but when he's doing the whole Ghostbusters thing, I'm digging it.
From the little bits we see of the movies, I hope there's a lot more of that in there because those movies are awesome. Those are the kind of movies I'd buy.
We should make those.
A whole new, DVD box set special, huh?
Nice. I'm liking it. We have to redo Interview with the Vampire. Okay?
Harvey.
Oh, Harvey would be good. I'll wear the bunny suit.
Okay. And I'll drink a lot.
You want to be Hannibal?
No, the little girl.
I want some more. Claudia,
Interview Vampire.
Oh, yeah, sorry. I missed that one.
I'm really excited about this. I think it's going to bring the revival back of VHS. People are going to start pulling out their VHS. I'm really, really psyched about this.
Or so we hope.
Yeah.
And if you're looking for a VCR, I have one I'll put on eBay.
$300!
But when I saw this preview, or this trailer, it was solid Jack Black. And like you, the little moments, the little things he does, I hope he does it a lot. I really think that this is also going to do wonders for Mos Def.
Who's actually, I've liked in a bunch of stuff.
Yeah, he's impressing me, with every movie. Yeah.
He's only ever done the small bits, but he pops off the screen.
He was pretty big in 14 Blocks.
Oh, I haven't seen 14 Blocks.
Oh, that was actually pretty good. Bruce Willis is a drunk policeman. It works.
Who would have cast him as a drunk policeman?
I don't know, man. a big winner. We're all excited about Be Kind, Rewind. And actually, I'm kind of excited about this one, too. Rambo.
I wasn't, but I am after seeing the trailer.
The music makes me want to see it.
Let the bodies hit the floor. But it's surprising because they use that for the stop-loss.
I know, there's two different movies right now using the same music. It's confusing me.
Yeah. I just love the story premise here. You have an old Rambo. They're letting him be an older man, maybe an old man, we'll see, but he's looking his age and he's like cynical
and he's still kicking ass.
And he's still kicking ass.
Dude, like, he's really kicking ass.
Yeah, I mean, the first thing that I noticed is that he's still got his frame. Like, he's still, I mean, he's getting older in the face.
Yeah.
One thing that sort of bothered me seeing this is like, okay, well, I mean, we've seen it with the missing in actions and the Chuck Norris, but one thing that actually bothered me about this Rambo was the makeup. If you look closely, look closely at the trailers and you'll see that it looks like they've applied too much makeup to hide some of the wrinkles.
And, oh, I wouldn't be surprised.
There's a lot to cover.
You know,
a lot to cover.
But no, I think, I mean, the fans of Stallone are going to pay tribute and homage, but unfortunately, they lost me at Rocky III, so.
The interesting thing about this movie, one of the interesting things about this movie, we'll see how it plays to its key demographic, because, of course,
me.
The 18-year-old boys buy a lot of...
Yeah, apparently.
But talk to an 18-year-old boy, they don't know who Rambo is.
Well, this is the problem, right? I think, I think the same thing applied to Rocky. You know, I'm not sure they knew who their demographic was, because the movie was, I think, probably the same in the mid-30s there. And a lot of people didn't go and see it. Great film. Like, really good little movie. Like,
I suspect that might be one of the reasons why this isn't Rambo 4 or whatever it would be. It's coming out as if it were a new movie.
Yeah, and you know what? I liked what he did with Rocky enough that I'm willing to give him a chance for Rambo. And you know what? I haven't seen a good shoot 'em up, like, 80s action, brand new, spanking, I don't even know what I'm saying anymore. But, you know, an 80s style, just all out war, lots of blood.
Bang, bang, you're dead.
Yeah. I haven't seen that in a long time. I'm willing to give it a shot, man. Yeah, bring it on. Bring on the killing, I'll be there. Now, I'm curious, did he film in Vancouver?
I have no idea.
Well, because all the other Rambo movies were filmed up north somewhere.
Well,
right?
But this is like a jungle scene. So maybe it was that, you know, British Columbian jungle north of Squamish.
Thailand. There's a jungle there?
It's actually
okay, also opening on the 18th, I have a feeling I'm the only one with any love for this movie. How's she move? Oh, God, I can't believe that.
The title makes me want to go find someone and just start bitch slapping someone.
Well, you know, there's one reason I have to see this. Actually, two reasons. It's Sean Desmond, and I have to go help the Portuguese boy. I can't believe I said that. And the director, whose name I'm not even going to try to pronounce, directed Touch of Pink with Kyle MacLachlan, which should have been total shit and was actually kind of fun.
Yin Iqbal Rashid.
Very good.
Gold star.
Gold star, indeed. And it's about, I don't know, dancing. That's all I know.
Have fun.
Yeah.
It looks like, you know, poor kids in the neighborhood, and, you know, the...
But it's Sean Desmond there.
I'll be seeing Veggie Tales that night. Thank you very much.
And since when are dance schools so tough? Like, inner city dance schools. Like, it seems like every movie that's about inner city dance schools, they're like, they're so tough. I'm scared, you know? It's like going to boxing. You know, or
excuse me while I take my lacrosse stick and beat you to death with it. You know?
Okay, since I'm the only one with love, we'll move on to The Air I Breathe. Starring Forest Whitaker, Sarah Michelle Gellar, and Brendan Fraser. Oh, and along with Kevin Bacon, Emile Hirsch, and Julie Delpy. And it's about a guy, Brendan Fraser plays a guy that can sort of see bits and pieces of the future.
Yeah, the trailer didn't... I love Brendan Fraser.
Oh, I love
but
Brendan Fraser. And he looks really good here.
Yeah, and the trailer just didn't do it for me. Bad trailer.
You know, I think the trailer... I think the movie's confused, too. I'm not sure the movie is going to be very good, to be completely honest. And general buzz is that it's not great, that there's a little bit too much going on. But I'm willing to give it a chance. I like the cast enough that I'm willing to give it a chance. And, you know, Brendan Fraser needs to... that guy should be a superstar. I don't know what the hell's taking so long, to be completely honest.
Well, he doesn't tend to be in, like, really great movies.
He's like Nathan Fillion. I think he's too nice to actually...
Totally
you need the bad press.
I don't know.
You need the rock star lifestyle.
The rock star lifestyle?
Yeah.
I don't know,
he's been in some really fun movies, but he's been in some real dogs, too.
Yeah.
So.
I don't know. Like,
George,
he has...
George of the Jungle
I liked, but...
Lucky Bone.
Dudley Do-Right of the Mountain.
Oh, yeah, I liked that one.
Bedeviled or something?
Yeah.
That was pretty bad. I don't know. Like I say, I wanted this to be good. I don't have a good feeling about it. And it reminds me a little bit too much of The Butterfly Effect. We'll see how it goes. I'm sort of on the fence. I'll see it if it opens.
I'll see it for Brendan Fraser and Julie Delpy.
She's fabulous.
Yeah, she is fabulous.
I think, I'm reading the plot line here, and it says it's a drama based on an ancient Chinese proverb that breaks life down into four emotional cornerstones: happiness, pleasure, sorrow, and love. And to me, you know, these are, you know, very basic and straightforward emotional cornerstones. Now, my question when I saw the preview is, like, how are you going to, you know, show that? And I think I was more confused than could pinpoint where these stories sort of interact. And I think you have to see the movie. Like, you can't, if what it's shown you in the trailer is not enough, I don't know if it's going to, you know, get people into the seats. But I think that trailer does not do justice for...
What they're trying to say, yeah. I agree.
Of course, maybe the movie doesn't do justice for what they're trying to say, so...
Yeah, which seems to be the general buzz. But, still want to see it. Also opening that week, and I'm really confused what's going on with this movie. 4 months, 3 weeks, and 2 days, Christian Mingu's huge indie movie, I guess you could say, the Cannes winner. I'm confused because nominated for an Oscar, it's already opened here. Oh, not nominated, shortlisted for an Oscar. It's already open in Vancouver. In Vancouver, of all places. And yet, we're seeing it reopen. So I guess this is the pre-Oscar push. I have no idea. I'm not sure what's going on, but it's apparently opening somewhere that hasn't seen it yet.
Yeah, maybe they just opened it to get Oscar qualification and then...
Well, yeah, that's what I'm thinking, that maybe they opened it just for a couple of days here and there, because I think it only played for a week. But I'm really confused what's going on with it. Yeah. But apparently it's still playing somewhere. A great film, not easy to watch, highly recommended for one viewing. I'm not sure if it's worth the... it's too difficult to sit through the second time. Not the kind of subject matter you want to be seeing too much of.
I think I'll rent it. I don't think I need to see it in
a
big screen.
And it's a beautiful film. Like, it's a really well-shot film. It's really gorgeous. But, you know, it's really hard to sit through. It's a difficult... It's a really just emotional...
Difficult subject
film.
Matter.
Yeah, it's a draining film. Like, you walk out and you know you just sat through something that's hard. yeah.
Well, the trailer, for me, I mean, it's broken up into segments of the movie and all these acclaims. And, you know, winning the Palme d'Or. And what I was looking for, I mean, first of all, the trailer was very sort of distracting. Yes, it has all these acclaims, but, you know, it didn't show me enough to convince me. For me, why I will give a movie like this a chance is because it is a very difficult subject to talk about. And it is a very... I mean, it's about 1987 drama that chronicles a Romanian college student's effort to get an abortion while living in a communist regime. Yeah. So that is, you know, that's whoa. You know,
it is. And
I'm very curious to know what that would be like. And
and it's almost hyper surreal. Like, everything is so realistic that it almost feels fake. It's really bizarre. But it's a really difficult film to watch because he holds no punches. Like, he pulls it all out of the bag. He shows you everything. It's hard to watch. Really hard to watch.
Is this something that, like, one would... Obviously, one can't really get that from the trailer.
And I'm not sure if... I think that they're doing what they can trying to get people into the seats. Because I don't think you can win folks over by the look of this film. I mean, it looks beautiful, but it's not...
I kind of think this film, box office-wise, would only do good if it won an Oscar.
Pretty much.
People, this isn't the kind of film, especially for a Hollywood audience.
No, and it doesn't look like a Hollywood movie either, right? It has a very distinctive feel. So I think they're really trying to sell it on its technical merit. Like, you know, this is what it's won, it's worth seeing. Yeah. And I think that's probably the only way they're going to get anybody in the seats. Because, you know, you tell somebody that they're going to be watching a movie about, you know, abortions in Romania during the communist era... Most people are probably not interested, you know. But it does mark. It's an important film for a number of reasons, but it's worth seeing if it's out there at least once. For sure once. Maybe not more than that. And the month ends oh so badly. I can't believe this. Meet the frickin' Spartans.
You know,
what the fuck is this?
This is
all I gotta say.
This is gonna have theaters packed. It's exactly
God,
what the mass drones of 18-year-old mindless teenagers want to see.
Oh
my God. I guess I shouldn't say I was kind
of.
It's sort of like once you've seen the first scary movie, do you need to see any of the others ever again?
It's the guilty pleasure. I know that people that will go see and associate with movies like this are actually moviegoers, and then they'll go in, they'll watch it, or they'll rent it. That's probably what's going to happen here. People are going to rent it.
I'll download it.
Yeah, exactly. But we all have a part of ourselves that I think wants to look and poke fun at the movies. And I think it's an attempt. I mean, it's a parody of the movie 300, so...
I like 300. I don't need to see it parodied.
Yeah, you know what? I'm...
Could you see a movie like this without seeing the movie 300?
I have a lot of questionable taste in movies. I am a B-movie fan
Hot Rod.
Yeah,
apparently I'm the only one.
This is... It goes beyond making fun of itself to the point where, you know what? I just want to make fun of it.
When he kicks that chick down the pit.
No, not funny. Not funny. And you know what? Where the hell are the Wayans brothers? I don't see them listed anywhere near this.
Kevin Sorbo. All right. Captain Dylan Hunt.
Oh, good
Mr.
God.
Mr. Hercules.
You know, he can do so much better than this.
He's not given a chance, though. Everyone looks at him and instantly thinks Kevin or Dylan Hunt or Hercules
now. I see him and I keep getting pictures of Fabio. I don't know why. I think it's the long hair. It sort of confuses me.
Yeah.
But yeah, no. No
forgetting. Oh, and it's brought to you by the makers of Epic Movie. So.
Wow.
Another
that tells
one
you
I
something.
Seen. I have no idea.
It's scary
like
movie,
old...
epic movie, bad date movie. Like, they're all the same film.
It's like the same old
film.
British Carry On franchise, you know? On Up the Khyber, Carry On.
I didn't watch any of those. I'm not a British comedy fan.
No on the list will make me go out of my way to see
CBC
it.
Television.
I admit one of the scary movies I want to see because Charlie Sheen was in it, because I like Charlie Sheen.
Raina, would you see VeggieTales over this?
Yes.
Okay. All right. I'll tell you when I'm going.
Okay. Actually, can I take that back? I will watch Transformers again.
I'll listen to it again.
Oh, we'll pop it into the DVD player because I got it for Christmas.
Awesome.
Oh, so and that is January.
One other movie that showed up on Rotten Tomatoes that surprised me. Trailer Park Boys.
What?
Showed up as going in limited release.
But it's already been out.
Yeah, it's already
on DVD. Yeah. I could have picked it up for $5.99 on
Boxing Day. Well, that's why I was confused. But...
Maybe our American friends didn't get to see it.
Could be.
Was Bucket List released this month?
Yeah.
It was in December.
It falls into Christmas.
Oh, okay. For some reason, I thought it was opening next week kind of thing.
It does open next week, but for us, it actually opened.
Oh, okay.
Like, it's like There Will Be Blood opened on the 26th, but it doesn't open here until the 11th.
Ah, gotcha.
I didn't know that. Really?
Now, did you see Trailer Park? I didn't see the movie.
No, I did get a nice rundown from the husband, who did like it very much. I've enjoyed bits and pieces because I have seen bits and pieces of it. I you know, if you're into that, it reminds me a little bit of Strange Brew from the bits that I saw. So I would say it might be worth the watch.
I like the characters. I can't watch the TV show.
The
TV show's
2 hours of Julian and Ricky and Bubbles and Captain Burger Pants. Like, I just... You know what?
It's not 2 hours.
It's
not 2 hours.
Whatever. You know what? A half an hour. Like, I do like the Trailer Park Boys, but you know what? A half an hour is more than my fill. Usually by the time the half hour is done, I'm like going, okay, what else is on?
There's actually, for those who like enjoy the Trailer Park Boys, as myself, they actually have a bigger budget to work with here, so they actually leave the trailer park and
go
to the mall. So, like, big budget this one.
Okay. This actually kind of reminds me. It's an interesting thing you bring that up because what is his name? The hockey player, the Rocket. I think
Rocket
the movie.
Richard?
Yeah, I think the movie was called
The Rocket.
The Rocket.
Yeah.
Because
the biopic.
It was here on DVD, I guess it's been months now, and it just opened in the U.S. a few months back.
Okay.
And I remember thinking, oh, well, sorry, you can order it from Amazon. You don't need to go to the theater. Go to the theater, so by all means.
The corporation was like that too, right?
You could buy it on DVD here, and it was still playing in the big screen.
I will never understand the reasoning behind basically spreading opening dates for films over long periods of time. You know what? A week or two is fine, kind of thing.
For because our poor Canadian films, sometimes it takes a while if they ever do get an American distributor.
I mean, look at Fido. I mean,
they complain about downloading and things like that. You know what? If I was in England and I had to wait a year and a half to see Sunshine or whatever, well, Sunshine might be a bad example there, but like whatever.
Yeah.
You know what? I'd feel completely justified in downloading them, and to hell with the film companies.
You know, and I think that's a huge problem, what's going on in
a week or two, I can understand, kind of thing.
This is another podcast, too. Trailer Park Boys.
Trailer Park.
Thumbs up or thumbs down? Or is that copyrighted? So would you
look
at the trailer, and if it catches your fancy,
big toe up or big toe down?
I'm biased because I love them.
Yeah, I won't say that, but yes, go see Trailer Park Boys.
I'll probably rent it.
For everybody, though.
No,
not for me. But it is a lot of fun.
Actually, I'll save my money and just watch Strange Brew.
Oh, I mean, the Christmas special? No.
You know, the Trailer Park Boys is about drinking beer, getting drunk, smoking pot, shooting firearms, you know, at the landlord. If you can sit through that, you can enjoy it. Well, then that's
amazing. Exactly. And it, I mean, the trailer park owner is fairly interesting.
I think
he gets naked in the movie, doesn't he?
I think you're
right. Oh, my God.
Oh, is Corky in it?
Conky. I don't think Conky does make a comeback.
Because I know they fished him out and he found the rotted
remains of Conky now. Inside information for all the Trailer Park Boys fans.
Bubbles sock puppet or whatever the hell it is.
Yeah, Bubbles does have some sort of multiple personality disorder. Only when the puppet is attached to his hand.
And on the Trailer Park Boys... we leave you with our last show of 07.
Happy New Year, everybody.
Yeah, Happy New Year, everyone.
And we'll see you all again after the credits.
Fabulous. I like that. Can we keep talking? Because I like to have stuff at the end.